The Jewish religion prides itself in being exceptionally caring for the underprivileged and weak groups within our society. And the Torah tells us time and time again to be kind to the widow and the orphan and the blind. The Torah instructs us to visit the sick and to give charity to the poor. The Torah speaks at length about treating a convert with love and respect. So it seems rather odd that when it comes to the service within the Beis HaMikdash, the Torah takes an unusually elitist stance. The Torah strongly forbids those who have physical defects to play any sort of role in the Beis HaMikdash. Anyone lame or blind was not allowed to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. Anyone unusually tall or unusually short was likewise banned from serving. People with broken legs, people with broken arms, hunchbacks, and dwarfs were all nixed. The obvious question is, why is this? Wouldn't Hashem want us to be kind and caring and go out of our way to hire such people? The modern world's attitude towards handicapped individuals, with its increased social services and designated parking spots and priority airplane boarding, makes the Torah's stance seem so outdated and insensitive. Why, when it comes to filling positions in the Beis HaMikdash, does the Torah seem to deviate from its regular, loving, and accepting mode of operation? So the Sefer HaChinuch offers the following very powerful explanation. He says, the success of the Beis HaMikdash in particular, and Judaism in general, is predicated on the Jewish people's awe and respect and honor given to it. The continuity of Judaism requires the Jewish people's dramatic interest in perpetuating it. The very moment the Jewish people view Judaism as unimpressive and second rate, as mere religious folklore, the future of Judaism literally becomes at stake. And therefore, the Torah implemented safeguards, ensuring that we view the Beis HaMikdash and Judaism in general with the honor and prestige it deserves, not because Hashem needs the power and the prestige, but because we need to be impressed by its image. Without it, we would sadly fail to appreciate its marvelous beauty, and we would become ensnared by the quote-unquote beautiful mirage of this world. And one of those safeguards was being particular in who serves as the representatives in the Beis HaMikdash. The Torah wants every child to walk into the Beis HaMikdash for the very first time and be left in complete awe. It wants every child to dream of being there, of aspiring to make the Beis HaMikdash a dominant force in his life. Having a welcoming committee comprising of Kohanim in pristine health, in the height of their strength, accomplishes this the best. The sad reality is that employing the elderly or those suffering from physical deformities would run the risk of giving off the image that the Beis HaMikdash was a place where one goes to work after they retire, like a museum or a library or an art gallery. In man's puny mind, we might have thought that if you really want to make it in life, you would work elsewhere. You'd be in Wall Street. You'd be downtown making millions. And of course, this couldn't be further than the truth. Judaism loves and includes everyone, no matter what they look like. But the psychological makeup of humans is such that man's perception creates his reality, and the Torah required the Beis HaMikdash to work within those parameters in order to promote the truth that Judaism is the ultimate goal in life, and its beauty and pleasure transcends petty things such as world-like pursuits. It required men only in pristine health and in the prime of their strength. The 6'2", 35-year-old men, the people who could have made it in any business or profession, the people who command dignity and respect. By selecting such people, we are showing that this is the most meaningful thing in the world. We don't serve in the Beis HaMikdash because we can't do anything else. We don't serve in the Beis HaMikdash because we couldn't make it in the business world. We serve the Beis HaMikdash as our first choice because this is what gives our life meaning. We aren't committed Jews because we can't make it anywhere else. We are committed Jews because we deeply believe this is the most valuable commitment. The beginning of the parsha discusses the Kohanim's prohibition of contact with a dead body. And the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Kuf Yud Dalet Amud Beis says that this pasuk, with its triple usage of the word amar, is alluding to the need for parents to teach their children about mitzvahs from a very early age. And Rabbi Yaakov Weinberg, the late Rosh Hashiva of Neri Yisrael in Baltimore, asks, why specifically here, in the middle of the laws of Kehanim, does the Torah choose to slip in and teach us about chinuch? Why pick a mitzvah that is applicable to less than 1/12 of the Jewish people when you're trying to teach an idea that applies to all of them? So he explains that the Torah specifically chose the mitzvah of the Kohen's prohibition of contact with dead bodies of Tumah to teach us the halachos of chinuch, for it serves as a model to all other mitzvahs. The Torah is telling us that the same way a Kohen is to tell his child that the reason you can't run after that ball that rolled into a cemetery is not because of some ancient dinosauric book prehistorically written thousands of years ago, and that book decided that Kohanim for some crazy reason can't go into cemeteries. No. You want to know why you can't get that ball that rolled into a cemetery? Because you're a Kohen and Kohanim are too pure and too holy to go into cemeteries. So should be the method of teaching all the mitzvahs of the Torah. When we present the mitzvahs to our children, we tell them what an unbelievable opportunity it is to keep them. They're not commandments, they're opportunities. When we tell our children that we can't transgress a negative commandment, we tell them we are too holy to do that thing. We don't say we have to visit the sick. We tell them we get to visit the sick. We say that we are too pure to eat non-kosher. We are remarkably privileged to keep Shabbos. An American man who ran an organization trying to help teenagers who left the Orthodox fold was once walking in Eretz Yisrael, and he noticed Rav Moshe Shapiro, who was at the time a leading Torah figure in Eretz Yisrael, and he noticed him on the other side of the street entering a car, and he raced over to Rav Moshe right before he closed the door, and he asked him, he said, Rav Moshe, there are hundreds of kids who are going against the religion of their parents and the religion that their parents raised them with. Why is this happening? So Rav Moshe turned to him and he asked, do their parents dance around the Shabbos table? Do their parents' faces shine when they recite Birchas Hamazon? Do their parents sing in the sukkah late into the night? Do their parents beam with pride as they walk into shul on Rosh Hashanah? Do their parents lovingly and enthusiastically learn with their children the sweet Torah? Do their parents jump up and dance when they say Kiddush Levana? Do their parents radiate purity and holiness each and every Friday night? Do their parents make a party at every one of their child's spiritual milestones, even the small ones? There is a concept in Jewish law, continue Rav Moshe, called Hamaitse Mechaveir Olav Araya. The burden of evidence is placed upon the one attempting to extract something from the other. These children look out into the American world and see nothing but pleasure in virtually every direction they turn. Parents, by forcing a seemingly restrictive religion on them, are, in the eyes of the child, attempting to take that life of pleasure away. So it is incumbent on the parents to give the children evidence that what the parents are offering is better. Otherwise, why would those children give up a life of pleasure for a life following a stale, ancient, irrelevant religion? Those kids don't see Judaism as the desirable option, and quite honestly, with the way their parents presented, who can blame them? And with that, Rav Moshe Shapiro closed the door and drove off. The Torah way of life is the ultimate life. Hashem doesn't need our service to him. He wants nothing more than to give us good. The Torah is the method in attaining Hashem's definition of good, the ultimate definition. And it sometimes takes years for that concept to be realized. But it's up to us to ensure that our children see the Torah the way it's meant to be seen, the roadmap to the greatest existence on the face of the earth.